public traded companies, they fixate, they're very focused on what their stock price is. And sometimes to the detriment of the company, they will make decisions to keep that stock price up, whether it's the benefit of the company in the long term or not.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What's going on, everybody? You know the drill. Every Friday, we're coming at you with all things personal finance so we can get your money not only working hard for you, but smart for you. Because after all, it's not what you make, but what you keep. And that's what today's about. It's about building that wealth, keeping that wealth, growing that wealth so you can create the lives of your dreams. Because after all, I think the real truth and the real way to create a better world is first to work on yourself. If the oxygen mask falls on the plane, put it on yourself first before you help others around you. I think that's the same type of advice you should live by when it comes to anything in life, and especially growing wealth and achieving your dreams and making this world a better place. You got to take care of yourself first. You got to achieve personal excellence first before you can help others. Because once you have your house of cards put away and everything's in order, then you can focus on helping others and making the world a better place. It's just, that's how these things work. So today I want to share a story with you all. It's a story of two siblings, a brother and a sister. They're actually twins. And for the sake of this story, we'll call her Sally and him John. So John and Sally both did the traditional do well in high school so you can go to a good college, do well in college so you can get a good W-2 and 9-to-5 job, right? And that's what they did. They worked hard and they both got great jobs in their respective fields. However, this is where then they differ. So John, he made over $150,000 a year, used about $100,000 savings plus reinvested 20% of his salary into stocks, retirement plans, brokerage accounts. So invested that into the stock market. Whereas our other counterpart here, whereas Sally, she had a respective career, but she made $45,000 a year. She was a teacher, loved what she did. We need more great teachers like her. She made $45,000 a year, used $50,000 of savings to buy 3 out-of-state turnkeys. And I know a lot of people be like, "Where? How are you able to buy 3 out-of-state turnkeys with $50,000? Well, it depends on the market you're in. Obviously, the market where I live, that wouldn't be happening, at least not in the current market. But this also happened before the recent run-up, right, in real estate. So she bought 3 out-of-state turnkeys and later used equity from those to buy a house hack. Now we're going to look 10 years later. What does that look like? Well, one has a $430,000 net worth and pays rent. The other lives rent-free, gets $3,700, so $3,700 in cash flow, and has $585,000 in equity. Both still have about the same salary. Who do you think, Sue? I think it was pretty self-explanatory, right? The one who has the largest net worth also lives rent-free and gets $3,700 in monthly cash flow. I think we know who that is. That's the one who invested in real estate, right? She lives rent-free. She house hacked. She gets $3,700 in cash flow, and her current equity, so her net worth, is $585,000 versus the $430,000 of her brother, John, who invested solely in the stock market and makes substantially more money. And now be like, "Sean, well, this, of course, you're going to tell us a story like this. You're a real estate guy." Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a true story. I know the two individuals. I changed the names, but that's a true story. It shows you the power of real estate. And now you might ask now, well, then why doesn't everybody do it? And to answer that question, you really got to follow the money. Why wouldn't more people do this? Obviously, there's some who just want the easier approach, right? Hands-off approach. And that's why they don't do it. But there's got to be more people who'd want to do it, right? I would assume the answer to that is yes. But you really have to follow the money. I don't think it's of people not wanting to do it because of the effort. I think it's people not doing it because they don't know about it. And just like anything, we've been conditioned through our society to live a certain way, and thereby invest a certain way. Like I started off earlier in this conversation, most people are conditioned, like myself, do well in high school so you can get into a good college, do well there so you can get into a good job in a good field and then make good salary. Work for 30, 40 years, put your money into a retirement account, into an IRA, into a 401k, and then hopefully retire in 40 years. Hopefully your house is paid off by then and you live off your retirement accounts. That's what we've been condition. And now you might say, well, why is that? Some might argue, well, we're conditioned because that's the best way to do it. Well, is it? That story I just told you, which again is a real story, would beg to differ. So why then? Why don't more people do this? And why don't more people know that they could do this or that this is even an option? And obviously, again, there's those that just want the easy approach, and that is fine. And my answer to you again is follow the money. And what I mean by that is in the United States, the retirement industry, and when I say retirement industry, I mean funds invested in retirement accounts, right? There's $33.6 trillion as of the fourth quarter of 2022. Again, $33.6 trillion. This is a huge industry, and I'm getting this information. You can look it up right now on the ICI.org, which is the Investment Company Institute. So this is an organization that tracks a lot of different things, including retirement assets. So as of the fourth quarter of 2022, the assets in retirement accounts are $33.6 trillion. Now, $11.5 trillion of that is in IRAs, so individual retirement accounts. It can be traditional rollovers, Roth. And now $9.3 trillion of that are in defined contribution plans, which are also known as DC plans. And you might ask, well, what is a defined contribution plan? Well, an example of a defined contribution plan is a 401k. So if we look at 401k assets make up most of that $9.5 trillion, $6.5 trillion to be exact. Most of that's in mutual funds, about $4 trillion, and then $2.5 trillion is in other investments, which my guess would be majority of that would be ETFs, because most plans don't allow individual stock investments or bond investments. So just think about that. We got to follow the money. $33.6 trillion. That's a lot of money we're talking about. So let's reverse engineer that, right? So you've got these retirement plans that have $33.6 trillion, right? Now, where is that coming from? That's coming from the individual, right? The workers of the United States who put money into retirement accounts. And how is this getting, and where is this being held? Well, it's being held by a broker dealer. That could be your Fidelity, your Merrill Lynch, just to name a couple, are held on these big platforms, right? And then to go down another level, who is directing these funds? Well, sometimes you have a financial advisor who is managing these retirement accounts. So they're making money from that, and they're putting you into certain investment products, certain funds. Now let's look at the funds. That's what I used to do. I used to work for a fund company, that money managers, that's what we're called, right? And so these retirement plans, these retirement advisors, and just regular advisors that don't deal with retirement plans would then invest in our funds, right? So then you've got these funds, mutual funds, ETFs, smart beta products, SMAs, which are separately managed accounts. Think of like a private placement, what we do in real estate, same thing on the financial services side, the traditional investment side is we can create these separately managed accounts that are kind of custom. All these different funds, right, that are getting these retirement accounts are getting, retirement assets are getting funneled to. And then from there, you've got us, right, the individual who's being directed, right, into all these different avenues. And these funds that are being managed, right, they've got portfolio managers, they've got analysts, they've got the distribution side, the salespeople, the marketing team, the compliance people, customer service, all these people are getting paid, right? So it's generating a lot of revenue. And then you got to look at the, go down another level, the individual holdings that are in these funds. So let's take a mutual fund, for example. It could be invested in Apple, Microsoft, Tesla, could go on and on. Well, a big portion of any big publicly traded company out there, a big portion of the investors are probably, or not probably, are different funds, different hedge funds, mutual funds, ETFs. ETFs and mutual funds are the big ones because they've got a lot of assets. And a majority of those assets are retirement assets. So companies, publicly traded companies, they fixate, they're very focused on what their stock price is. And sometimes to the detriment of the company, they will make decisions to keep that stock price up, whether it's the benefit of the company in the long term or not. We've seen that time and time again. They make decisions to keep that stock price up, then hurts them, the business itself in the future. Share buyback, where they buy back shares, artificially pump up their price. So this is important to them. So then they then cater to these fund company. I remember that one of our funds had a, can't remember the company, but essentially it's one of the big ones. I'm not going to name it here, but the portfolio manager could call literally the CEO and CFO, could speak directly to them. So for example, say it was Apple. It's not the company that I'm referring to, but say it was, they could call and speak to Tim Cook because they own, they're one of the largest owners of shares in the company, and they can get these people on the phone. The reason I'm telling you all this is you got to follow the money. there is a reason we're being conditioned to invest this way. There's so much money in this industry, you know, from the fund companies through the retirement platforms, the advisors. On top of that, the companies that publicly traded companies that are being invested in through these retirement funds. And the list just goes on. And within each of those, there's tens and tens of thousands of positions. And this is all generating revenue. It's all about keeping those assets, because retirement assets especially are what are known as sticky assets. And what that means is generally they have a longer life expectancy within that firm, right? So if you invest into your 401k, those assets are going to stay there longer than, say, a regular brokerage account that's not a retirement plan that you can invest, buy, sell. Because again, one of the benefits of a retirement plan in a 401k, which is also one of the drawbacks, is that it can grow tax deferred, right? But caveat to that is that there are penalties if you withdraw before a certain age. So they're stickier assets because you're just going to keep them, right? Now, you might roll it over from a 401k to an IRA, but generally you're going to keep that within maybe that brokerage. So they're stickier assets. So that's why the firms love them. And that's why the financial industry conditioned us to invest this way, because they're sticky assets and they generate a lot of revenue off $33.6 trillion. They generate billions and billions and billions of dollars off of this. That's why they don't want it to change. And that's why within my industry, a lot of people don't know about self-directed IRAs, how they can actually invest directly in real estate. Because when that happens, those assets are not essentially sticky, because they're leaving, you know, your traditional brokerage firm, because they don't allow this type of investment, because the money, it's under the qualified plan umbrella. So it's not going to be penalized or taxed, but it actually leaves the firm to be invested in the underlying asset, the underlying property, right? That's not as beneficial to them because it's not in-house. So yeah, I just wanted to share this. That's a powerful story of two siblings, this true story of one that makes significantly less, but chose to invest strictly in real estate, and the other one that makes significantly more, three times more, invests solely in the stock market, has a smaller net worth, doesn't have any passive income, and doesn't live rent free. Now, again, I would never come on here and say that investing in real estate is for everyone and should be the sole platform to invest. I would never say that. That's not for everybody. Just like investing in the stock market, your traditional retirement plan is not for everybody. It's for some, sure, but not for everybody. So I would never come on here and say that. I just want to educate more people that it is an option. It is an option to invest in real estate, even within retirement accounts. And it has made a lot of wealthy people. And there's reasons for that. And I've gone over those plenty of times on this show. And I just want to get on here and let others know that there's other options. I want to share that story because, as we all know, facts tell, stories sell. At the end of the day, I hope you got some value out of this. And as I always say, if you did, if you could please share this with a friend, someone who you think could also get value, that would mean the world to me. Because again, I'm here to share this message to more and more people. And the way to get this out to more people is by you, the great listeners, to share it with your friends, colleagues, family members, just an acquaintance, someone who you think could get value. And also, if you have the time, it would also mean the world to me if you could leave a rating review on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening. It's on YouTube, obviously. Subscribe and hit like. That helps with all the algorithms on these platforms so I can get in front of more people as well, so we can all achieve personal excellence and make this world a better place. All right, everybody. As always, easy doesn't pay well, and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you, so we can all create the lives of our dreams, achieve personal excellence, and make this world a better place. All right, everybody, I'll catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.